The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, Hilchos Petach Hamor. This simon talks about a very unique mitzvah, the mitzvah of redeeming a firstborn donkey. Now we find the idea of a firstborn being kadosh, being holy, in a number of places. We find with the firstborn child, there's a mitzvah to redeem them. We find that a firstborn animal, kosher animal, they have a kedusha, they have a holiness, and unless they have a mum, unless they have something wrong with them, they keep that holiness and they cannot be eaten. And over here we have this mitzvah of the firstborn donkey, which I believe is the only non-kosher animal that we find a mitzvah of redeeming. And the mitzvah is to redeem it with a sheep, and that is given to the Kohen. And if one does not want to redeem it, then the Torah says that this donkey should be decapitated, should be killed. And just to give us an understanding a little bit of this mitzvah, obviously there are much deeper reasons that we don't understand, but the Sefer HaChinuch, which was written by one of the Rishonim, one of the early Gedolim, discusses different reasons, or what we call like a tam, which is like a taste, something we can learn from a mitzvah. And what he explains is like this. He explains that the idea of redeeming the firstborn donkey is to remind ourselves that in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he took the Jews out of Egypt, the 10th plague was Makas Becharis, where the Bechar, where the firstborn of the Mitzrayim, was killed. And the Chinuch says that there's a symbolism between the Chamar, between a donkey and the Egyptians, because the verse in Yecheskel sort of gives a comparison between the two. So therefore, it's a remembrance and it's an appreciation that when we have our own animals and we have this firstborn donkey, that we should remember that what the Hashem did to us in Mitzrayim, which has a symbolism of a donkey, and therefore we should not use and not derive benefit from that firstborn until we redeem it. This is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch explains this when it comes to the mitzvah of redeeming the firstborn, of the firstborn donkey. Now, when it comes to this commandment that if one doesn't redeem it, then it should be killed, he doesn't really explain. He just says that's what we said before. Seemingly, what he's trying to say is that since it's prohibited to have benefit from it, so therefore, the Torah is saying that if you don't redeem it, then you have to get rid of it. That seems to be according to Sefer HaChinuch. However, the Rambam in Sefer Mor Nevuchim says a beautiful idea, that what the Torah is doing by commanding us that if we don't redeem it, that it has to be killed, which is obviously something that someone would not want to do. So the Torah is really forcing us to redeem it, because that's really what the Torah wants. And again, by redeeming it, what we're doing is we're recognizing and remembering how Hashem took revenge on the Mitzrayim, on the Egyptians, who were so bad to the Jewish people, and by making the 10 plagues. With this background, let's now begin learning the Kitzer and Sif Aleph. Yisrael sheyesh lo chamira v'yol debachar. A Jewish person who has a female donkey and it gave birth to a firstborn. Mitzvah of Daisai. There is a mitzvah to redeem it. Now, it's important to understand that the Jewish person has to own the mother. If the Jewish person does not own the mother, and we discussed in the previous siman about this partnerships, but if it's not completely owned by the Jew, then there is no obligation. It's only if the mother is owned by a Jewish person. And with what does one redeem it? B'sem min ha'ksavim, min ha'kvasim, or min ha'izim. It says a female sheep from the sheep or from a goat. Bein zachar, bein akeva. It doesn't have to be necessarily female. It could be male or female. Bain Gadol Bain Katan, whether it's large or small, basically any size, Bain Tamu Bain Balmum, whether it's has a blemish or does not have a blemish, you'll bavad shallah yehe trefa, as long as it's not one of the trefas. Trefas we've perhaps discussed other times, those are different ailments with an animal that Chazal saw that it can't live for a long time with, that would make something not kosher. So if it doesn't have one of those ailments, v'loy shachot, v'loy ben pakua, and also it has to be living, it can't be shechter ready, v'loy ben pakua, it can't be a offspring of a shechted animal. In other words, that say they shechted an animal and it was able to still have a live birth, so that animal actually does not need shechita, and that animal cannot be used to redeem a firstborn donkey. V'yitin es asel l'kayin, and the procedure is that says given to the kayin. In Eretz Yisrael, every so often they have a pigeon petach hamar, where there's a lot of Jewish people with farms, and they make a very elaborate ceremony where they decorate the donkey, and they redeem it by giving the sheep to the kayin. Then the donkey is allowed to be used for regular usages, because once the kedusha, once the holiness is taken off from it, then it could be used. Now the kitzur continues, and from what point is there an obligation to redeem it? Mishi volate, from the time it's born, ad shiyomos, until it dies, basically as long as it's alive, there's a mitzvah to redeem this firstborn donkey. Elo shemitzel of doisa miyad, but says the kitzur, there's a mitzvah to redeem it right away. Shalahashe says a mitzvah, not to wait around for a mitzvah. Now this is a very interesting concept in general. We find it in the laws of Mila, and in the laws of Perivirivya. That's the laws. Mila is the laws of circumcision. Perivirivya is the laws of procreation, of having a family. That how do we view a mitzvah that a person has a long time to fulfill? Say the mitzvah of Mila. There's a dispute, the famous dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid, that one opinion says that the chi of kares, the punishment, is only if a person dies without having a bris. But as long as a person's living, at any time he could do a bris. The other says no, that right away he's punishable by kares. But the point is that even if you say that as long as a person's living and they still have the opportunity to do it, they're not punishable by kares, the point is that since you have the mitzvah on you right now, so you're supposed to do the mitzvah right away. That also would be, let's say, the mitzvah of perivirivya, of having a family, so a person can keep on pushing it off. But since, again, the mitzvah is on a person, so therefore they're supposed to do it as soon as possible. This also comes up, let's say, when it comes to davening. A person could daven now, they could daven later, so they have obligation, perhaps, to daven right away, especially that if later they don't end up davening, then they're going to be considered negligent because they should have davened earlier. So this is the same thing over here. Even though there is, one could redeem the chamar the entire time, as long as it's living, but there's a mitzvah to do so right away, and that's the sinyan of shalalahashes as a mitzvah. Now to continue, it's la'achar shepadai say, and once it's redeemed, harihu b'yad yisrael chulin gemurim, it's completely permissible to use. Now the point is that until it's redeemed, it has kedusha, it has holiness, and it cannot be worked, cannot be used. Similar to what we found in the previous siman with a bechar behema, with a firstborn animal, where that animal is not to be used, and it just roams around and cannot be worked. So the chamar has the same status, but the difference is that with the chamar, it's redeemable. So right when it's redeemed, then right away it can already be used for work or for whatever purposes the owner wants to use it for. And even though the sheep is used to redeem it, but we don't say that the holiness goes on to the sheep that you can't use it, but rather it's also chulin gemurim, and the same is really true when it comes to padin ben, when it comes to redeeming a firstborn son. So they give the 5 coins to the kayin, and the kayin is allowed to do with it whatever he wants. there's no kedusha on it per se. There's no holiness that that he's not allowed to do anything with. In other halachas, let's say, when it comes to redeeming, redeeming the different things that people have to redeem, trumas and maisers and those things. So certain ones you can redeem onto a coin, but that coin actually has kedusha, and that coin cannot be used. So that's a little bit different. But over here, it's chulin, and it could be used. The Kitzer continues in Sif Beis that this idea of the redemption, it can happen even before the sheep is actually given to the kayan. Miyad kishehifrish hashatzla, right away, once he sets aside the sheep, shehei tachas petra chamar, that it'll be instead of the firstborn donkey, nasa hapetra chamar chulin, right away, the donkey becomes permissible to use. Afil kaidim shenasa nasatzla l'kayan, even before he even gave it to the kayan. Lavirich miyad kishemafrisha mevarech, therefore, right away, when he sets it aside, he makes a bracha, asher kedushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivonu apilin petach hamar. He makes a bracha on doing so, because if he's going to wait until he actually gives it to the kayin, he really fulfilled his mitzvah already. So again, this is an important point, that if a person wants to fulfill the mitzvah, and if he sets the sheep aside, so at that point, that itself is considered a pidyon. That's considered a redemption, even without it being given to the kayin. So therefore, if he were to wait until he actually gives it to the kayin, he wouldn't be able to make a bracha anymore. This is, for example, similar to, so when you shake lulav, that the minute you pick up the lulav and esrog together and hold it the right way, you can't make a bracha on it anymore because you already did the mitzvah. So you have to turn the esrog upside down or not hold it together until you make the bracha, in order that you shouldn't do the mitzvah by itself. The mitzvah shouldn't be done automatically. Now, this is important to keep in mind, because a lot of times when they do this pidyon petach hamar, when they do this, they like to make a whole big ceremony, and they have to be careful that before the ceremony they set aside which the sheep that they're going to use, then it could possibly be a problem that we're mentioning over here. So they have to work it out that it's not set aside until the ceremony begins, because otherwise they would not be able to make the bracha. Now the Kitzer continues, Kaidim Shenivda, before it's redeeming the donkey, Asabana cannot have benefit from it. Even if one gives it to the Kayin, it doesn't help. Now the Torah has a very specific requirement. The Torah wants it to be redeemed with a sheep. If it's not redeemed with a sheep, you can't just give it to the Kayin and it becomes mutter. It's sort of similar, you know, the Mefarshim, they talk about that when it comes to opinion of Ben, so there's the famous line there where the father said, where the kohen asked the father, what do you want more? You want the son, or you want, would you like to redeem him? And the father obviously is supposed to answer, he wants to redeem him. But the question is, what if the father says, no, I don't need the son, you take him, right? Does that work? The answer is it doesn't work, because the mitzvah is not, it's not that the kohen owns the son, and therefore the kohen could take him if he wants. The idea is that there's a specific mitzvah of the father to do this mitzvah of redemption. Just the reason is it's brought, and the Mefarshim says, for chibuv mitzvah, to the endearment of the mitzvah, the person is viewing it when they're giving that money to the kohen as if they're giving it instead of their child, but it's not that the child really belongs to the kohen and there really is such an option. It's more just an idea of showing the love for the mitzvah. So here also, it wouldn't even help to give the chamar to the kain. The Torah says a specific idea that the kain wants the person to keep the chamar and just to give the kain the sheep, and therefore it would not help to give the chamar to the kain. Now the Kitzur continues, Gam a kain also l'shtamish by atche yifta isai v'ikech hasasel asmoi. Now what happens if the kain has this chamar, so he can't use it until he himself redeems it? But he could take the sheep himself. So basically, someone gives him as a present this firstborn chamar, says, here, you take it. So he has to go get himself a sheep and redeem it, but he could keep the sheep. Because, again, the kedusha, the holiness, only comes off when it is redeemed. And what happens if the chamar, if the donkey does not live, so it dies? So then, it needs to be buried, because, again, it had this kedusha, it has this holiness, and it didn't go off of it, and it seems that you can't redeem it once it's not alive anymore, so that has a certain holiness that has to be buried, and they cannot get benefit from the from its body. There's a halacha that the Sefer HaChinuch brings down that the Kitzur doesn't bring over here, and that is that does the kohen have, does the owner of the chamar have to give a sheep? Can he give money instead? That's the question. So basically, the Sefer HaChinuch brings that one would be allowed to give money. The value of a sheep. Now the problem is that different sheep have different value. As we mentioned, a person could give a tummy, he could give a perfect one, he could give a bamum, he could give one that has a blemish, he could give a large, he could give a small. So how does one know how much to give? So basically the Gemara in Bechara says, Ein yafa b'sela, a person who's generous gives a sela, that's a larger coin. Ra b'chatzi sela, a person who's more stingy gives a half of a sela. Beninus, a person in between gives three zuzim. So the point is that there's not a set amount, but basically it's up to him. But as long as it could buy a sheep with it, that's enough. It's interesting because it says shloisha zuzim. We know in Chagadia, we're talking about a young goat, we say Dezavet Abba betray Zuzim. That was two Zuzim. So that's two Zuzim. The Gemara talks here about three Zuzim. But the point is that a person has to give something that at least could buy a sheep with. But again, there's not an exact amount. Im ein the rights of dice. So if one does not redeem it, and as we mentioned from the Rambam and Marim Nevuchim, that's really against what the Torah wants. The Torah wants it to be redeemed. And that's the first mitzvah. Makeo b'kupitz ba'arpa achiyamos. He hits it with an axe in the back of the neck until it dies. Vik bereno, and it should be buried. Hineisha also ba'ano, because it's forbidden to have benefit from it. Umitzus pediyah kaidemus lemitzus tarifa, and the kitzur says that redeeming it is it comes first. Meaning that's what the main thing the Torah wants, and just if one does not fulfill that, then one does this. This concept we also find in the laws of Yibum, that we know that if a brother dies without children, so then there's a mitzvah for the living brother to marry the sister-in-law, even though normally it's a forbidden relationship, in order that there should be a zecher, there should be a remembrance of the family. Now there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Now we know she doesn't want to marry him, then she could do chalitza, and they can remove the shoe, and there's a whole procedure where they remove that relationship, and it makes it that she could marry whoever she wants. Now there's a whole discussion in the Gemara. What comes first? What's the main mitzvah? And according to a lot of opinions of the Gemara, the main mitzvah is the Torah wants Yibum. The Torah really wants that there should be a continuation of the lineage. Just if you don't do it, then you do chalitza. But this is a question. Now, over here, when it comes to Pidyon Ben, it's very clear that the Torah definitely wants Pidyon first. If one can't do the Pidyon for whatever reason, so then there's a mitzvah to kill the Chamar, that no one should derive benefit from it, as we find over here. The Kitzur continues, Kohanim u'Leviim paturim mipetach hamar. A Kohen and a Levi are exempt. This is similar to the laws of Pinyon HaBen, of redeeming a firstborn child. That again, Kohanim and Leviim are also exempt. V'chein bas Kohen u'bas Levi. So if it's a woman, so even though she does not serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but since she's from the family of Kohanim or from the family of Leviim, there's not obligated in this mitzvah. But that would be only if she actually owns the animal. But if belongs to her husband, then it would be different. Now, there is a lot of discussion in the Gemara Ksubis and Shulchan Aruch Aben Ezer exactly about what a husband owns and what a wife owns. For example, if a wife brings into the marriage certain assets, or let's say a woman works more than she's obligated to, as far as the ksuba is concerned, there are ways that she could have her own money. So if she would have her own money, and she is the daughter of a Levi, and she buys a chamar with it, and she has, it has an offspring, then it would be pater, it would not be obligated. However, if it's the husband's money, then it would be obligated. Now the kisser continues, v'shutvus kain v'levi, and a partnership between a kain and a levi, v'chein shutvus nachri, or a partnership with a non-Jew, this is what we mentioned in the beginning, gam kain poiteres, it also exempts. Now, what's interesting today, you know, especially with the way people do their finances, if a husband and a wife, say, share their assets, and if the chamar is jointly owned between the husband and the wife, and the wife is the daughter of a kain or a levi, and the husband is just a Yisrael, so seemingly that would be like any partnership, and that would exempt. If there's sort of there's a real separation of the assets, that whatever belongs to the wife, whatever she brought in is hers, and whatever he works and brings in is his, so then the fact that she's a bas levi, a daughter of a levi, would not exempt the husband from having to do this mitzvah. Now, the kitter ends with a very interesting point. We know that when it comes to the idea, the laws of a firstborn animal, so the common practice was to make a shutvus, to make a partnership with a non-Jew, in order that it should be jointly owned, so therefore there shouldn't be an issue of the Kedusha. Because this was a big burden for the farmers, that you have this animal, you can't work, that has Kedusha, and what are you going to actually have to do with it? So you say you're talking about a bull. You know, though they're very wild, you can't touch it. So what are you going to do with it? You can't slaughter it until it gets a mum. Now, over here, because there is a very simple option, you just take your little sheep and you give it to the kayin, so therefore one's not supposed to do that. Because again, when it comes to the firstborn animal, so there was no really other option, so therefore they let you sort of circumvent the halacha, so to speak, by doing a partnership with a non-Jew. Whereas over here, where there is a very simple eitzah, one could redeem it, or one could put it to death, whatever it is, you know, but the simplest thing would be to redeem it, so therefore, one's not supposed to circumvent it. This concludes the laws of Pidyon Petach Hamor, redeeming the firstborn of a donkey.